Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Very honored to have you with us today. And we've got a great show lined up for you. We have really a couple of powerhouse interviews coming your way. Number one, we have Franklin Graham, who is going to be here. Not only is Franklin and the team over at Samaritan's Purse already boots on the ground in Florida and helping out the recovery efforts, but we also have President Trump. And we had a great conversation. We pre-taped the interview earlier today and covered a lot of ground. It's about a 16, 17-minute interview. And as promised, we're able to get a couple of your questions in. You know how it is with the president. When he comes into an interview, he has an agenda. I have an agenda. And normally his agenda wins the day. So trying to corral the president, yeah, that's not going to happen. But we had a great conversation. You will hear that at the bottom of the hour. So we've got a few moments before we bring you the interview with President Trump. And so anyway, it's going to be a fun day. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, just a little while ago, President Trump announced that that he has already entered a plea in the Georgia election interference case. Now, this happened after our interview, but the president is battling Big Fannie Willis. She is the district attorney, the daughter of a radical Afrocentric Black Panther who campaigned on a promise to get Donald Trump. And the president now entering not guilty pleas in the charges of election interference. Quite frankly, the ones who need to be charged with election interference are Big Fannie Willis and that other judge, what's-her-face, Judge Shaka Khan, up in D.C. That's who needs to be charged with election interference. President Trump, this is coming from Fox News, Trump chose to waive formal arraignment and instead pleaded not guilty. Donald Trump charged 18 others as well. And folks, every time I see, I don't know about you, but every time I see the photographs of all the defendants, all of these great patriots, I just, something inside of me, there is this visceral reaction, this anger, and it just reminds me of something you would see in some sort of a third world country, and we saw this play out in the early 1930s with the rise of the Soviets. It is that vulgar. And the president's going to have his day in court. I will say this, the president is in good spirits. He is in a great mood. He is in fighting form. He is in fighting form. So we're going to be taking your calls today, 844-747-8868. Again, that's 844-747-8868. We're also following the story out of Florida with Adelia, which is now over North Carolina. It's a tropical storm. And there's been a lot of damage, but it has not been catastrophic. The 16-foot storm surge that they prophesied did not come true. Therefore, these weather guessers are false prophets. And, you know, I've noticed that these weather guessers of late, and we talked about this very briefly yesterday, but these weather guessers of late are really not, they're not your old-school Willard Scott weather forecasters. Anybody remember Willard Scott from the old Today Show back before they went woke? And Willard Scott, he'd get up there, he'd give the forecast, and you'd have the little low-pressure systems and the sunny sun and the clouds and the rain, and then he would wish Aunt Fannie Mae a happy 130th birthday or something. That was back when the weather was really good. But now, the weather guessers have become these agents. They've been politicized, weaponized by Al Gore and his ilk to advance this false gospel of climate change. And that's what they're teaching the kids at the meteorology schools. And it's sad, but that's what's happening. So it's not that, oh, wow, we have a really hot summer. It's the hottest summer on the planet. It is 100 degrees. Yes, and it's always been 100 degrees. It's the summertime. It's hot. That's why God gave us central heat and air. Oh, my gosh, it's a hurricane. It's the worst, most catastrophic hurricane of all time. Yes, hurricanes happen, but it is not the most catastrophic of all time. As a matter of fact, if I may say, the worst was around the turn of the last century when a hurricane plowed into Galveston, Texas, and killed around 8,000 people. Well, that was pretty catastrophic. Now, I'm not saying that. I mean, the damage is horrible. And if it's your home that got damaged or destroyed, then this is a catastrophic moment for you. But to stand there and say this was the worst storm of all time, Idalia was not the worst storm of all time. Idalia was not a catastrophic, and I'm talking from a broader perspective, it was not a catastrophic storm. It was a hurricane. There you go. Guess what's going to happen? We're going to have more hurricanes. And you know what? The next hurricane will be even more catastrophic than Idalia. So a large part of this is being driven by Al Gore and the disciples of climate change, right? So they're using and they have weaponized every weather office in America to advance that agenda. There was a time when the National Weather Service would just issue these statements, warnings, hey, a tornado is coming, and they would put out the counties and all that kind of stuff. But it was really after Katrina or during Katrina that all of a sudden they even weaponized the warnings that were coming out of the National Weather Service. Life-threatening. Your life will be in danger. If you're reading this right now in your home, you're a dead man. And you're like, holy crap. Wow, that's... No, I'm not making this up. We get the alerts. They're frightened. I mean, it's, your dogs will die. They will drown, and they will have a horrible death. Okay, we get it. Okay. Jeez, Lou. By the way, one of the weather guessers was out there. You know, they love, what they love to do is put them in all this cool gear, and then they set them outside, and we're all waiting to see. Like, there was a scene, what was that movie? Oh, it was 2012. Is that the one where California breaks off into the ocean? Oh, that was a beautiful movie. Yeah, and so anyway, there was a scene where there were tornadoes. Tornadoes were ravaging Los Angeles. And they have one of the weather guessers out there, and he's doing a live TV report. I'm standing here looking at the funnel cloud as it slurps up Rodeo Drive, and all of a sudden, the guy gets just smacked by a giant billboard that just blows across. That's the only reason people watch Weather Channel. Really, I mean, it really is, right? It's the only reason they have TV cameras that are set up right outside of Air Force One with the stairs. They're just waiting for Joe Biden to fall down or fall up. I mean, it's horrible. It's awful. It's demented, but it's true, right? So anyway, they send these reporters out there. They're standing, oh, I can't stand. The wind is blowing and howling and, oh, the humanity. And then you got people walking behind them in flip-flops to go to the grocery store. Like it's just a windy day. Don't do that, weather guessers. Don't do that. Let's go to the phones here. Jim in Lakeland, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM, our flagship station. Hi, Jim. What's going on?
Oh, not much. Thank you for taking my call. I was just telling Ben a second ago, I ain't going to mention name, but I know one of the local weather forecasters real well. And I told him not too long ago, I said, you know, you got the greatest job in the world. And he said, what do you mean by that? I said, you can be wrong 50% of the time and still keep your job.
It's true.
Yep, it's true. But, you know, them old boys, though, they up there late at night trying to keep everybody when them major storms come through here, though. They earn their dues in, you know.
They do a great job, Jim. And I, those local guys, they do a good job. I'm talking about the Weather Channel and all these other folks. They are far left dingbats, and they're trying to terrorize people. I don't like it.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. You know, I love the local weather guys, though. They keep us safe as much as they can, you know.
They do indeed. We lost a great when he retired. He's still with us. Tim Simpson, our good friend, went over to Greenville, South Carolina. So we love him. And, Jim, we sure appreciate you listening to KWAM, our great affiliate there in Memphis, and appreciate that great. It's true, right? You can be right 50% of the time and get a pay raise. By the way, I love this story. Years ago when I was just starting in TV, and we had this state-of-the-art weather center, and we were having severe weather. And it was, I don't know, it was late at night or in the evening time. And we went over, we tossed to the weather department, and the weather guy happened to be a huge wrestling fan. And so we're like, we're monitoring the storm system as it plows through the area, and let's go live to the weather center. And we went live to the weather center, and our weather guy had his feet up, and he was watching wrestling. So, what are you going to do? I mean, right? I mean, if it's going to rain, it's going to rain. If the tornado's going to come, the tornado's going to come. So there you go. That being said, we feel bad for people that did get flooded out. But is this really catastrophic? Was the storm really as big and horrific and horrifying as they have promoted it to be? Did it live up to the billing? All right, got to take a break. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Coming up, Ted Cruz is very upset and has something to say about the Biden administration's beer crackdown. We'll tell you more about that coming up next. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. And you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. That's legacypminvestments.com. Or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. All right. Wow. So Matt's calling in north of Moorhead City, North Carolina. Is that where Adelia is, Matt, or is it somewhere over you right now?
Sir, Todd, how you doing, first of all?
I'm doing well, thank you.
You're welcome. Actually, it exited off the what they call the Crystal Coast. It's Carteret County. I used to live down there briefly. But I'm 80 miles directly north in a straight line of Moorhead City. And as I told Ben, your call screener, the rain was more annoying than the wind. It didn't even blow the raincoat off my lawnmower, though it had weights on it. You understand?
Oh, sure. So it's not as bad as they were projecting that it was going to be.
Well, not in my area, but I mean, a guy in Georgia got a falling tree killed him, and Florida got pretty messed up. But
in your area, Matt, that's what I was asking, is your area.
Exactly. Yes, sir. In my area, it's not as bad as they thought.
All right. Well, I'm glad to hear that. And that's good news. And Matt, we appreciate you calling in today. All right, 844-747-8868. I want to play this audio from Ted Cruz. So he was on with Eric Bolling, and there's been a big controversy over Biden's new two beer policy. So Joe Biden and their beer czar, they're coming out and saying that Americans, you're drinking too much beer, and now they want to limit you to two beers a week. Is that right? I know, Ben Dieter, you're like a big boozy guy. You like to go out there and drink the Appletinis and whatnot. Is that accurate? Is it two beers a week?
Let me first clarify for my parents who listen to your show every single day from Pittsburgh that I recuse myself from this conversation, but I'm a journalist, so yes, you're right. There is a beer czar appointed by Biden himself coming after Americans that drink two Bud Lights or Budweiser. Yes, all okay, so the seltzers everywhere.
You're a Baptist martini guy, so.
For the sake of this conversation.
Diet Coke with a wedge of lemon.
I love that.
Ish. They're tasty. On the rocks, which apparently here's where my career is right now. So Ted Cruz, as bad as it is in America, for a lot of people, all they have left are the Baptist martinis, right? I mean, their retirement is gone. They can't afford gas. You know, they're not allowed to eat hamburgers anymore because that's illegal. You're not allowed to fly because you're blowing a hole in the ozone. You can't. And if you're a white guy, you can't even get a job anymore. So all you got is the Baptist martini. And now Biden's coming and said, nope, that's it. No, you got to be sober so you can enjoy the pain and the suffering that I'm inflicting upon you. So anyway, Ted Cruz was on Newsmax with Eric Bolling. Eric has got a beer. It's a non-alcoholic beer. And my question is, what's the point? He's drinking the non-alcoholic beer as Ted Cruz is. And where was Cruz? He looked like he was in some sort of a biker bar or something. And Cruz was drinking beer. And here's how all this went down, cut number three.
And now these idiots have come out and said, drink two beers a week. That's their guideline. Well, I got to tell you, if they want us to drink two beers a week, frankly, they can kiss my ass.
No, okay. Senator, I brought a beer to drink with you. I'll drink this non-alcoholic beer with you because I'm not allowed to drink on camera, but I'll have a sip in the meantime.
I don't think they drink non-alcoholic beer in Texas. I think that's like against its constitutional law, right? So Cruz is now catching a lot of flack. You know, the leftists, how dare he? How dare that man drink beer? How dare he? Well, he was thirsty. And as Ted Cruz says, it gets hot down in Texas. Yeah, I know they have AC, but it's still hot. So anyway, I'm not quite sure how this is going to play out, and I'm not sure what point Biden was trying to make. But they want to take the joy out of life. This is what the Democrats do, ladies and gentlemen. They suck the joy out of life. It doesn't matter what it is. If you had a sweet, let's just say, we're living in a dumpster fire of a nation right now. It's still the greatest nation on the face of the earth, but we've got dumpster fires burning all over the place. You got a cute little kid, wearing a little MAGA ball cap, and maybe he's got a little Trump T-shirt on, and he's got a brand new little puppy. And you know what Biden would come up with? Biden would walk over, he would sniff the child, and then he would kick the puppy. They want to suck the joy out of everybody. And that's what they're trying to do here. Is that a lot of guys, after a hard day's work, they like to go back to the local watering hole and hoist back a couple of cold ones. Because that's what their grandpas did, and that's what their great-grandpas did, and that's what the founding fathers did. Just ask Samuel Adams, God rest his soul. He created the beer, for crying out loud. But again, I'm a Baptist martini guy. But I don't judge here. I mean, again, if this is what you want to do, it's America, you live your life. Who are these Democrats to come out here and say that Americans should only be able to drink two beers a week? So I say, good for you, Senator Cruz. Good for you, sir. And I think he spoke for a lot of Americans out there. But these Democrats, they just suck the joy out of being alive. They want you to suffer. They want you to be in agony and pain. They're just joy suckers is what they are, just sucking the joy out of everything. I'm just saying. They're very unpleasant people. All right, 844-747-8868. We're going to talk to President Trump coming up next. It's going to be a great conversation. I promise you it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be talking to the president. If you want to weigh in on the joy suckers, give us a call. It's 844-747-8868. That's our number. This is the Todd Stern Show. MyPillow is celebrating its 20-year anniversary with over 80 million MyPillows sold. Mike Lindell at MyPillow wants to thank each and every one of you by giving you the lowest price in the history of MyPillow. You're going to get their queen-size MyPillow for $19.98, regular price $69.98, and just $10 more, you're going to be able to get a king-size pillow. You're going to receive deep discounts on all MyPillow products like bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, and so much more. This is the time to try out some of their other amazing products you've had your eye on. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes to get this amazing offer of the queen-size MyPillow for $19.98 or call 1-800-839-8506. The offer comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes or call 800-839-8506, promo code Starnes. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. What an honor it is to have the great President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, with us. Mr. President, hope you're doing well today.
I am. Thank you very much, Todd. Thank you.
You know, Mr. President, there's a lot happening in the news, and I want to start with this morning. Just a few moments ago, Steve Doocy over at Fox News threw a little bit of shade. Dylan, I think we've got some audio here. Let's play that audio from Doocy.
And when you look at this Emerson poll that Griff started with, after the debate, Vivek actually went down 1 point. Ron DeSantis went up 2. Mike Pence went up 4. Nikki Haley up 5. Mike Pence increased his support with people in the Midwest. Donald Trump's support with people in the Midwest dropped 12. Nikki Haley's support with people over 50 went up from 2 to 9, and Donald Trump's support with people 50 over dropped 7 points. As we had said before the debate was the official starting gate, essentially, for 2024, and people started shopping. And now people have started shopping. They looked at the people on the stage and they said, you know what? I kind of like that person too. Donald Trump's still way ahead, but now people are looking at other people. And as we said before,
Mr. President, what the heck is going on at Fox News? And what do you say about what Doocy is saying this morning on the air?
Well, he's incorrect because most of the polls, and I'm way ahead of Emerson too, but most of the polls are literally have me going up a lot since the debate, if you call it that. But they have, and you've seen them, they're all over the place. Real Clear Politics, every one of them. I'm way up since the debate. I did an interview with Tucker Carlson where I guess they had 260 million people watching, which is a record they've never had. It beat the Michael Jackson Oprah interview, which was a longtime champion. And so I don't know what this guy's talking about. You could have them, but they'll pick one poll where if you go down a little bit, they'll use that poll, but they won't use the 15 polls or a lot of polls where you go up. But we've gone up very substantially, and we've gone up in just about every state. It just came out in Virginia. I'm leading by a lot, and that includes Biden, you know, beating Biden also. Illinois leading by a lot. States that you don't see that much polled, but we're leading by a tremendous amount. Well, Fox is doing everything possible to derail. You know, it's the globalists, meaning the owners, but the globalists, and they're doing everything possible to derail. I have it all the time with them. I mean, we're constantly sending them notices, letters. But if there are 20 polls, and 20 of them are good, now they're all good because the Emerson poll is a good poll.
It is.
Way up, like, by a lot. What are the numbers, Todd? I don't even know. What am I leading by in the Emerson poll?
Yeah, just about every poll, Mr. President, you're leading by 40 or 50 points. And as you say, Mr. President, every time they indict you, your numbers go up.
Yeah. No, it's an amazing little phenomenon going on at Fox Hill. If they see one poll, even if it's a poll nobody ever heard of, they'll use that poll. And we complain about it all the time, but that's the way it is. Fox has really changed, and it's unfortunate.
It is.
And yet you have great anchors. John Hannity, Laura has been great. You have so many great – Jesse is fantastic. You have so many great people over there. You look at Mark Levin, what he's done is incredible. But there's an undertow at Fox that's very bad. I fully understand it. They did the same thing in 2016. I had a lot of popularity with the anchors, but I guess there are some forces in there. You saw what happened in Arizona. You saw what happened in a lot of other ways. So it's too bad. You know, it's a shame to do that because they lost credibility. That's why their ratings are way down.
Do you anticipate at some point jumping into the debates?
I might. I mean, you know, it's possible. I like debating. I guess I won because of the debates. You know, they've been very good to me. So I might. But at this moment, I'm leading by so much that it seems to be foolish to do it. You know, we had a tremendous success. I don't know if you watched it, but we had a tremendous success on Tucker Carlson. And he did an interview. And the interview was, I mean, it got good reviews. But more than anything, it got numbers that the biggest numbers in history. I guess they call it views or whatever they call, however they gauge that. But it's the biggest that has ever taken place by a lot. You know, it was, I think, double the next highest, which was many, many years ago. So that was, I would say that would be a lot better than a debate, frankly.
We had a lot of our listeners yesterday, Mr. President. They phoned in questions, and someone asked about the debate. And I sent my national correspondent, Ben Dieter, up to Milwaukee just to sort of be there in person. And I asked Ben, and I've got him in studio this morning. Ben, you told me that you didn't see anybody up there on that stage that even looked vice presidential in that debate.
No, Todd, not at all. Really rookies. And when you look at them, you need someone to assist President Trump's America First agenda, which is what we all miss. And I didn't see anyone up there viable.
You know, Mr. President, you know, when you're looking for a vice president, did you see anybody up there that might be a good VP for you?
Well, I don't want to get insulting to people, but, you know, it was not a great debate. It also scored very low ratings. It was the lowest rated debate, I think they said, in history. So I'm greatly complimented by that. You know, the one that I had, I guess, had more than double or triple the ratings or something. But, you know, no, I don't want to get into that necessarily, but I understand. Well, I understand exactly what you're saying.
Well, one of our listeners thought Carrie Lake would be a good VP, but honestly, I think she'd be one heck of a press secretary for you as well. You've got a lot of fighters out there for you.
She's good, and it was terrible what happened to her with the broken voting machines all over the place. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a terrible thing. How that can happen, where she had more than half the machines broken, and the fake news doesn't even want to report that story. That was a terrible, terrible thing. And they went to court. And as usual, the judge, I guess he said no standing, or he said that he's not going to see the case. You know, the standard stuff. It's we need people with courage in our country. That includes judges. We need people with courage. There aren't too many of them.
No, sir. You're absolutely right. And I remember, I wanted to ask you about that mugshot. I was at dinner and someone sent me a shot of it when it came out. What was there any sort of like advanced prep in your mind? Okay, this is what I am going to do for the mugshot. Can you take us through that moment?
Well, because it became such a big story that they were going to do a mugshot, which a lot of people felt they shouldn't do, and other people felt that they had to do. You know, there's Georgia law that maybe says that you have to do it. I'm not sure. But so I knew about the mugshot. And I also saw other very, very good people. Many of them I don't even know, but these people are, you know, so sad. They did 19 people. And you look at some of these charges, it's so sad. Look, it's election interference. They're trying to illegally interfere with the election. And that's what the DAs, and the DAs, the local ones, are, and even some litigation. I have litigation that's paid for by the Democrat Party. I have a woman that sued me, and continuously we're suing them, and it's a whole big thing, who I have nothing to do with. I never met, except that she supposedly took a picture with me 20 years ago or something on a reception line with her husband that they produce all of a sudden. I don't have no idea who this woman is. It's being funded by Democrats. It's being funded by Democrats. And we have two or three other cases like that where it's being funded by, you know, totally unrelated cases being funded by the Democrat Party. That's part of what they're doing, too. This is the biggest scam in history. It's been going on for years. It's part of the greatest witch hunt ever. This is the greatest witch hunt from the day I came down the escalator. That's why, Todd, I do you, because you've been so, you know, you get it. You really get it. You've gotten it from the beginning.
Oh, we know.
People said,
oh,
you've done Todd a lot. I said, yeah, that's because he gets it. He understands it. And he's not afraid to report what's happening. No, it's a disgrace what's going on. It's election interference. And it's never been done in this country, certainly not to a level like this. They have no shame. The DAs are controlled. You know that the DOJ put their top person in the Manhattan DA's office to run the case against me, which is so bad a case that virtually every legal pundit said there is no case here. There's no crime. There's no anything. This is an embarrassment that shouldn't be brought. Many people didn't want to bring it. But the DOJ's one of the top people, like literally one of the top people, was put into the DA Bragg's office to run the case. It's unbelievable. Nobody even knows that.
It's shameful.
Unbelievable what they've done. And the good news is, I say it, and I have a platform. My platform is me, so I speak to you and other people, and I'm able to say it. But if I didn't have a platform like that, you'd be out of business. I mean, you wouldn't be able to fight back. I can fight back because, fortunately, people want to hear what I say. I guess it's ratings, because I do get big ratings for whatever reason.
Yes, you do. Yes,
but,
you do.
It's a shame what's happening to our country. We're going communist. We're fascist. This country. You remember what I said? We will never be a socialist country. I was right. We skipped socialism. We dropped down to communism.
It's
crazy.
It's insane, Mr. President. And, you know, you predicted all of this. You said, no, they're coming after you because they want to come after us as well. And they have, going after the Roman Catholics and infiltrating their churches, the FBI, going after the moms and dads, you know, raising questions at their school boards, going after law-abiding gun owners. I mean, this is a full-on war against the American people. And Sarah Palin actually suggested we may be heading to a civil war. Do you buy into that argument? That could be the path that we're on?
Well, anybody that says that ends up being thrown in prison. Okay. You know, so it's a very dangerous thing. So I tell Sarah, who's got courage, she's, by the way, she should have won that race. That race was another. They had that new form of voting where, you know, you vote for first place, second place, third place. And what a shame. She ran a great campaign. She should have won. And I hope she runs it again. I hope she does it again because she'd win. But, you know, if you say anything like that, they immediately indict you and they want to put you behind bars for the rest of your life. That's part of what they do. No, I see tremendous anger and I see tremendous. I said at my last question, I thought my last answer with Tucker was the best because he talked about, you know, what he sees in terms of the feelings out there. And I see tremendous love. And I see tremendous anger in the same person. There's tremendous love and tremendous anger. And that's a very dangerous combination. Does that make sense to you?
It does. It does, Mr. President. I know our time is short here. And I do want to. Tucker brought up something. He was doing an interview yesterday. And he mentioned he was very concerned about where all of this is going. And he was especially concerned about you and said that he fears that there may be people trying to assassinate you out there. Do you worry about, do you think about those things when you're out there doing the massive rallies and you're out there on the campaign trail? And are you concerned about that?
Well, you don't want to think about it too much because you would not see much of an exciting rally speech. You know,
true.
I can't. We have great people. Secret Service does a fantastic job. You know, Secret Service, these people are really great. And I let people know when they're not good and when they're good. We have plenty of agencies and parts of government that are so terrible in this country. But Secret Service, they do a fantastic job. I've seen the work they do, and I've seen some things happen that they are on the ball. So that's a good thing. But look, you know, I've turned things up and I've turned them around. And this was not supposed to be the plan. The plan was that Hillary Clinton would win, that she'd go in and she'd, you know, do things that most people would not like to see done. And she, didn't run a great campaign. I mean, the deplorables, who would have thought that was going to be so bad? The deplorables deal didn't work. But Biden was much worse. Look, we did much better in the second election by millions and millions and millions of votes. Got more votes than any sitting president in history. So, you know, they say, oh, what happened in 2020? I said, well, we did much better. They say, what do you mean? I said, well, we got, what is it, 10 or 12 million more votes, which is a record. More votes than any sitting president ever. Also, more votes than any second term. In other words, presidents usually get less votes in the second term, but they win. I got more votes in the second term, but more votes than anybody else has ever gotten going for us. Take your greatest president that everyone loved. I got many more votes, and we lost. The whole thing is so bad. Our elections are bad. Our border is bad. I mean, we have millions of people flowing into our country. Our getting out of Afghanistan was so bad when you think of what they did. I think it was the lowest day in the history of our country in terms of embarrassment, morale. I think it was the worst thing. And that got Putin. It would have never happened with me. That would have never happened with me, but Putin would have never gone into Ukraine. All the people that are dead right now would be alive. All those cities that are crushed and rubble, they'll never be rebuilt again. Hundreds of years, maybe. It'll never be rebuilt. We'll never be like it was. And just to finish that, you know, last night I had dinner with many of the families whose sons were so horribly killed in Afghanistan on that, like that surrender that we did for no reason. You know, I had that under such control. They were so afraid of us. They weren't going to do a thing. They didn't kill a soldier under my watch for 18 straight months. And then we had this catastrophe happen. But I met with the parents, and these people are incredible, and they're devastated. And they want the answers as to what happened, because their sons and daughters were killed.
Yes.
And they want the answers to what happened. And you have to see that they love our country, but they're so angry. They're so angry with Biden and what happened. That should have never happened. I was getting out of Afghanistan. We were getting out with dignity and strength, and we were taking the military out last. We're taking them out last. They took the military out, and all this stuff happened. It was total bedlam. We have a president who's the most corrupt in history. We have a president who's the most incompetent in history. And we have a president who could very well get us into a third world war. And this would be like no other war. This would be a war that would blow them all away. This would be obliteration of the world. And he's a man who can't even put two sentences together. So it's a real problem. But they play tough with this stuff, and what they do to people and what they're doing to people. You mentioned the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is under siege. I don't know. He's got something against the Catholic Church. But I hope the Catholics aren't going to be voting for Biden if he ever makes it to the starting gate, which I sort of doubt he will. But I just think it's an honor to be with you. You've been so fair, and I appreciate it.
Well, Mr. President, we always appreciate you coming on. And open invitation, you know, we're based in Memphis, my hometown, and we've got some great golf courses out here. So we'd love to have you out. We'd love to have you out here one of these days.
That's great. I love it. Well, I love Memphis. They've been very good to me. So, and so have you. And thank you very much, Todd. I'll see you soon, okay?
Thanks, Mr. President. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, Donald John Trump. So there you go, folks. The conversation with Donald Trump, and there was a lot of ground to cover there. And we're going to be taking your calls on this. Sounds like the president might possibly be open to doing a debate. But honestly, if you read through what he was saying about the debate field, not a viable vice presidential candidate, at least in his mind, that he saw at that debate. So we're going to be taking your calls on this, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We are going to have the full interview uploaded to the website coming up right after the show, and you can download that at toddstearns.com. All right, folks, stick around. We have Franklin Graham coming up. Also, Ryan Helfenbein from Liberty University. It's going to be a great show. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I
American Ride. Todd Starnes. Oh,
yeah. All right. Hello, everybody. Wow, what a great interview. What a great conversation with President Trump. Always kind, and we appreciate him. Taking a very, that was a pretty long interview with us, and we covered a lot of ground. He talks about the globalists at Fox News that are trying to upend his political campaign, and I believe that. Of course, the Murdochs are no friends of America. They're certainly taking advantage of us, but it's really like an invading force within the media, and they're pillaging and plundering. And once they don't have any use for Fox News, it'll be destroyed. It'll be gone. But right now, they have turned what was once a great conservative network, and they've weaponized it to go after Donald Trump. And we'll see how long that lasts. They can't be anti-Trump too terribly long, because once Trump does get the nomination, they're going to have to embrace Trump. And if they don't, I mean, you guys are the audience. I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to leave Fox at that point? I mean, a lot of people already have, and it was, you know, I was over at Newsmax a couple of weeks ago in New York City at their studios. I was stunned by the number of former colleagues from Fox who have now become refugees and have joined the great cause at Newsmax. I think it's amazing. So anyway, I'm glad the president, and of course the president, is smart enough to see what Fox News is up to. And shame on Ducey, and we'll play some of that audio a little bit later on this hour, shame on Ducey for basically throwing shade at Trump in these post-debate polls. And every single one of the post-debate polls, Trump is still leading by massive numbers. Massive numbers. I want to go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. We're getting your reaction to the interview. That's 844-747-8868. Susie, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Susie. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. How you doing today?
I'm well. Thanks for asking.
Well, good. Well, I just want to thank you for interviewing my favorite president and still my president. And I think he sounded great. He sounded upbeat. And he's a very, very kind man, as you know, Todd. And, hey, I wanted to weigh in on that about what Ted Cruz said about beer. He was cracking me up.
It's true.
I don't know. I don't know. He was cracking me up. How does the Biden administration think they're going to monitor anybody in their house, Todd, if they come home at night in their house and want to drink five beers? How are they going to know that?
It's nobody's business. What are they going to do? Like, keep track of you and say, okay, you purchased this many, you know, this much beer, you're not allowed to buy anymore?
Right. I just think it's just craziness, Todd.
It's insanity, Susie. Insanity. But anyway, I'm glad you enjoyed the interview with President Trump. And you're right. He does sound really, he sounds refreshed. He sounds energized. And he's able to complete a sentence.
Right. And I will never stab him in the back. And I will, if he's not on the nomination, I'll write his name in on a ballot. I'll write his name in.
Oh, he's going to be. No, he is going to be the nominee, Susie. And he has to be the nominee. He has to. And that's
right.
Really the point of. And it's hard for the candidates to wrap their head around this. Governor What's-His-Face out of Arkansas, the one that's running that nobody knows. This guy's delusional. The idea that he thinks he can be the next president of the United States, it's ludicrous. Look,
right.
You've got Burgum, the guy from North Dakota. He bought his way, really bribed his way onto the debate stage. You know, that guy's got no chance. So why are we wasting and squandering money and effort and resources when we ought to be getting behind Trump and let's send a message to the deep state? We have got to fix this country. That's the most important thing.
Right. Hey, and I'll let you go after this. Did you see the little Jalen on Newsmax last night, that little 12-year-old boy from Colorado?
How about that? Our little patriot.
Yes, I love that, too. I just wanted to crawl through there and give that kid a hug.
I love it. Well, that was a fun story, and we talked about that yesterday, and I'm so glad. And again, Newsmax is doing such a great job, and they have really stepped up now that Fox has gone to the left.
Right, right. That's the only one I watch. I don't know what's going on any of those other stuff. I don't know, and I don't care.
All right.
You know, but I appreciate you very much, Todd.
And thank you for listening to WDUN. It's a great radio station, and they're just crushing it every single day. Let's go to Patty. another radio station that's crushing it, WSIC in North Carolina. Hi, Patty. What's on your mind?
How is my friend doing? You did a great interview, Todd. I love that guy. I love him. He's so smart. God bless him.
He's, you know, it's really interesting, the grasp of the information that he has. I mean, he covered a lot of topics. He was right on the money, and the guy still got it. What can I say? He still got it.
He's blessed. He's blessed. He's blessed. You know what? He's blessed. And got, you know what? And I hope somebody, you know, up above is really going to take care of him. Okay. And I wanted to just draw in with this. They want to take our beer away, right? Okay. You take our beer away, we take your Coke and the marijuana out of the White House.
No more cocaine for you, sir. No more coke for you.
No more. What about all the drugs in San Francisco? What about all the people shooting up in the streets? What are you going to do? You're going to take our beer away, but you're going to. What about the people that are shooting up?
Patty, this is a great thought. So if we've got to turn over our six packs, then Biden's got to turn over the drugs.
Yeah, yeah. Turn over your drug, all the coke. No more toot toots for Kamala.
I love it, Patty. This is a great idea. Well done, well done, Patty. Thank you for the call. Have a great weekend. 844-747-8868. By the way, I want to share this information with you. Governor Brian Kemp out of Georgia has now rejected calls to remove the district attorney, Big Fannie Willis. So you've got a lot of Republicans in Georgia that are just enraged over the blatant election interference coming from Big Fannie's office. Brian Kemp, this is from Newsmax. Brian Kemp, speaking from the Capitol, said that, and he did not name names, but he was responding to State Senator Colton Moore, who on this program called for a special session to remove Big Fannie because of her weaponization of the district attorney's office. But Kemp says, no, that is not going to happen. And here's what kills me about this, folks. And this is why conservatives have such an issue with Brian Kemp. Brian Kemp said that, quote, while his concerns with Big Fannie have been well documented, he will not abide calls for a special session from Moore, from Trump, or anyone else. Quote, we have a law in the state of Georgia that clearly outlines the legal steps that can be taken if constituents believe their local prosecutors are violating their oath by engaging in unethical or illegal behavior. Up to this point, I have not seen any evidence that Big Fannie's actions or lack thereof warrant action. So in other words, he believes that Big Fannie Willis, everything she has done is above ground and is down the straight and narrow. That's what Brian Kemp is saying. That Big Fannie is well within her rights to interfere with the presidential election. Kemp goes on to say, as long as I am governor, we're going to follow the law and the Constitution, regardless of who it helps or harms politically. Over the last few years, some inside and outside of this building may have forgotten that, but I can assure you I have not. So there you go. Brian Kemp, just a little while ago, announcing that he will not entertain any kind of an idea, any kind of a motion to remove Big Fannie Willis from office. Now, keep in mind that Brian Kemp has that right. He has the authority to do that. The Republicans in the legislature gave Brian Kemp the authority to appoint a commission, to appoint a panel that could investigate and then recommend removal of Big Fannie Willis. But he's not going to do it. And you know why? Because he hates Donald Trump. That's why. Now, I know there are a lot of people, a lot of Republicans in Georgia. Oh, we just love Brian Kemp. He's just the bee's knees. We just love him. He's just the finest man, and he's a good Christian man, and he's a conservative man, and he's got this beautiful family. No, 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 no. He's a rhino, Republican in name only. But that's okay. If that's what you guys want in Georgia, that's what you got. But I'm telling you right now, for Brian Kemp to stand there and say that everything Big Fannie Willis is doing right now is by the book, is legal? Uh-uh. No, not true. So there you go. You folks in Georgia, you got a problem on your hands. So Brian Kemp is not going to step in. He is not going to involve himself in the Donald Trump issue. All right, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. We'll take your calls on that. Also, 844-747-8868. Also, Crystal, do you go to the Crystal? Do you guys know what a Crystal is? Now, the Crystal is sort of like a White Castle, but it's our version of it here in the South. It's a little hamburger, you know, and you got they're like little sliders and thin hamburger, and you got some mustard, a little grilled onion. They sell them by the 10 packs. It's a Southern thing, I think. So anyway, Crystal is announcing many of their restaurants, and this is what's fascinating. Many Crystal restaurants around the South are now going cashless. So they will no longer accept cash, and then if you're paying by credit card, they will charge you 3.8%. There's a fee, a 3.8% fee, if in fact you use your credit card. And a lot of people are saying, that's it. No more Crystal Burgers. I'm just curious about that. All right, again, we got to take a break. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Todd, Democrat ran America in 2023. A 12-year-old has the maturity to choose what gender they want to be, but a 55-year-old can't determine how many beers he should have a week.
Yes, I'll go along with two beers a week as long as I have my two Texas Fifths to go with it.
Well, all right. Thank you very much there, gentlemen. That was David and Frank. David from Washington State, Lake Moses, Washington. Frank calling in actually from Iowa and leaving us a message on our app. And you say, well, whoa, Nelly. What? I can do that? Yes, you can. Some of you may not want to call in and talk live. So what you can do is actually go to our app, and if you go to my radio station's website, kwamradio.com, kwamradio.com, and click on the app, you'll be able to download the app, and when you do, you'll be able to give us a shout-out. And that's what we just did. David just did that. Frank just did that, and we'd love to be able to play your shout-outs throughout the program. So just go to kwamradio.com. And you'll be able to do that. All right, let's go to the phones here. A lot of folks wanting to weigh in on Brian Kemp. Let's start with Gina in Athens, Georgia. Hi, Gina. What say you?
Hey, Todd. I just wanted to tell you, I was listening to you, and I heard what you said about, you know, Georgians liking Kemp. And I just want to say not all of us do. Before you talked about that, it was on Newsmax earlier, so I called his office and just told him from here on, whatever office he may run for, he will never get my vote again. So disappointed in him.
You know, again, Gina, if you have, you know, if the governor says, yeah, I got concerns about all this, but we're not going to do anything. We're just going to let it fly. You know, no, mm-hmm. No, you investigate. At that point, you call the legislature back and say, okay, let's investigate this and see if there really is something there. But he's not going to do that.
No, none of the Republicans do. And they all hate, they do, you're right. They secretly hate or openly hate Trump because Trump did everything the way it should be done. And I guess that hurts their, you know, money-making schemes that they have going on. And so, no, they won't do anything to support him, whether it goes against the law or not. And one thing I wanted to say, if I could, one more thing.
Sure.
The lady that you have call in, her name is what, Liz Peek?
Liz Peek, yes.
It's been a while since I heard this, a couple of weeks ago maybe. But, you know, she is typically minded like they are. You know, they're all under the delusion that things are normal. And, you know, she said that day that both Biden and Trump, that it's an embarrassment that they should both bow out. I completely disagree with that. Now, Biden, yes, oh, my gosh, he should be long gone, but as you say, he's not doing anything anyway. He's just going on vacation while everyone else runs it. But I so disagree with her because Trump should not. Everyone should back Trump because he's actually doing what's right. And if you give into it, then they're just going to run it completely. And the ones that are running now, they're all the same minded. Everything's establishment. Just go along with it, no matter what it does to the country.
Gina, I love what you just said. Now, I love Liz. I've known her for years, and she and I disagree on several big issues, Trump being one of them. But it's important to hear from the other side. Otherwise, we sort of have a boring radio program. And she and I will go back and forth on a lot of the issues. I will say this, that you have to, and this is what's hard for people, Gina, is that you've got to rewind and erase in your mind everything they accused Trump of doing during the first 4 years of his administration, because it all turned out to be a lie. So they preconditioned this nation to hate Donald Trump by spewing all of these lies, knowing that people would not forget. And that's the problem. And that's why I am supporting this man. He's done nothing wrong at all.
And our nation is brainwashed. You're exactly right.
You're right. That's the word. They've been brainwashed. All right, mm-hmm. Gina, got to run. Great call. They're in Georgia Bulldog country. Athens, Georgia. Big college football weekend coming up. I'm excited about that. Let's go to Don in Eastern North Carolina. Hi, Don. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for asking.
Good. Let me preface this by saying that I am a staunch conservative and a Trump supporter. However, I think that people need to keep in mind that there's a difference between what's legal and what's unethical. And I think that a lot of things that are being done are unethical, but maybe not illegal. And, also, because of the public perception of the way things are being handled, I think Tampa is making a big mistake by not appointing a counsel or someone impartial to investigate what's going on. Whether he thinks it's right or wrong, I think that's his duty to prove that nothing illegal has been done.
Yeah, and Don, he's got that right. When you look at what the legislature did just this past session, they gave the governor that authority, and the governor, you know, Brian Kemp acts as if he's going to, you know, that we want him to go out there and just fire Big Fannie Willis. No, that's not what we want at all. And again, investigate and then determine if she has violated her oath of office and if she has remove her from her position. I mean, it's pretty simple to me. Hey, Don, we got to run. A good call. Thank you for that. Hope you're doing well and staying dry out there in the Carolinas. All right, 844-747-8868. That is our number. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Program. And again, if you would like to listen to the interview we just did with President Trump, all you have to do is go to our website, toddstearns.com, and you'll be able to download that interview. Coming up in just a little while, heading over to Liberty University, our favorite university, and our good friend Ryan Helfenbein from the Standing for Freedom Center is going to be joining us. But right now, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Good friend of this program and just one of the kindest people that I know, our good friend Franklin Graham joins us. Franklin, hope you're doing well. It's been a while.
Todd, I'm doing great, and it has been a while, and it's good to be with you.
You're watching your Twitter feed tires me out. You're either riding a motorcycle, eating at McDonald's, or speaking before, you know, 500,000 people sharing the gospel. You're a busy guy.
Well, you know, Todd, I'm 71 years old, and I realize I don't know how many years I got left to have, health. So I'm going to do as much as I can while I can.
Well, let's start in Florida, where Hurricane Idalia has already passed through. Samaritan's Purse, so many volunteers responding. What are you guys doing, and what are you hearing about the damage in Florida?
Well, we've got people on the ground right now. We went in the day before the storm to southern Georgia so that we would be in a position to get right in. And so we're looking at two locations right now in Taylor County, Florida. That'd be Perry and Keaton Beach. We have three locations that we're going to be in Pasco County. That'd be Hudson, Newport Richey, and I think it's called Elfers. So these are lots of, in Pasco County, there's a lot of water, a lot of flooding. And you know, the media, you know, they've reported on this, but I don't think it's going to be in the news too long because there's only just a few people that were killed and the storms moved on and it went through pretty quickly. But that water damage and the wind damage is horrific. And there's a lot of roofs that are missing, a lot of trees on roofs, the flooding. So far, we've got 430 volunteers that are signed up. We're going to start using them tomorrow. And so we're going to need help down there for probably the next at least a month to 2 months. There's just a lot to do. A lot of poor people in this area, people that don't have insurance, Todd, people that aren't going to be able to make it unless somebody comes in and helps them. And that's what we're going to do. We're just going to try to help them enough to where they can see, you know, light at the end of the tunnel and get back on their feet again.
SamaritansPurse.org is the website, folks. SamaritansPurse.org. And, of course, you guys have been very busy in Maui as well. I was talking to Greg Laurie a couple of weeks ago, and just the devastation and the loss of life, that is, they're still trying to, you know, grapple with that. But Samaritan's Purse ministers there, helping people the best way they can.
Yes, and we've got one of our cargo jets is leaving in the morning to set up with material to set up a volunteer camp, a place where our volunteers that come out can have a place to stay. And right just within less than a mile of the city. So we've got, you know, we were delayed in Hawaii. We were there with the day after the fire. However, the city just put a lockdown and put a fence around the whole thing, simply because they were still looking for bodies and a lot of people were missing. And so it took just time for them to go through every property to make sure there were no more bodies in the ashes. And now they've given the all clear sign for us to come in. And what we're going to be doing there is helping people sift through the ashes. And what I mean by sifting, there's always something that survives a fire. Maybe it's a wedding ring or maybe even a picture album, something. And so we'll be helping homeowners sift through their ashes, trying to find the few valuables that might remain that would mean a lot to them. Of course, we have chaplains that are with us, so that while we've got teams doing sifting or even down in Florida cutting, you know, trees off roofs or whatever, chaplains always go with us so they can minister to the homeowner, to the property owner, while we're working and, you know, share the word of God with them, pray with them, comfort them. And, you know, sometimes, Todd, you have to spend enough time to listen to their story, because what the people have been through has been the most traumatic, many times most traumatic thing in their life. And they want to share it. They want to tell their story. And it's important that you just take time to listen. You don't have to really comment. Just listen and let them cry. Let them laugh. Let them, you know, pour their heart out, but how important that is to have somebody there to do that.
I'm curious when you see these people, and Fox, when I was a reporter there, they would send me out to these horrible disaster zones, and I'll never forget there was a tornado that touched down in Tuscaloosa, and there was a guy who was just standing there on what used to be his house. There was nothing there.
Yeah,
and he looked in shock. How do you minister to folks like that?
Well, what you do is, you know, how can we help you? And, you know, and so when they find out that you don't want any money, you're not asking them to pay you, that you're there to offer your services for free. And we're there in Jesus' name. It means a lot to these people. Just the fact that you care enough to be there and to help whatever that help may be. And even though the house may be in ashes or the house may be in rubble, it's still their ashes. It's still their rubble. And there's meaning. There's things that's in that pile that's meaningful to them that they want to preserve or save, and just to be there to help them. And again, they've got a story. They want to talk, and that's important.
Franklin Graham is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today, talking about the ministry and relief efforts that are underway through Samaritan's Purse in Hawaii and in Florida. And Franklin, while all of that is happening, you are also on the road, this incredible God Loves You tour. I understand, 10,000 people were reached in London, and there are stops all over the place. How is that going, and what's that like being out there and sharing the gospel with folks?
Well, we were in London Saturday, and I had C.C. Winans with me, Michael W. Smith, the Newsboys, Dennis Agajanian, the Tommy Coombs Band, and I preached, and we had over 1,000 churches participated. We had 130 buses that were coming from other parts of the country. And so it was just an incredible night. Many people gave their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ, confessing their sins, repenting, and believing on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was just a great night. And, you know, Todd, I've got a tour coming up this next February, and it's called the God Loves You Frontera Tour. This is the Frontier Tour, and we're coming up the U.S.-Mexico border, starting in Brownsville, Texas, going all the way to San Diego, taking 10 cities. We're going to McAllen, Laredo, Eagle Pass, Del Rio, Presidio, El Paso, Tucson, Yuma, San Diego, and we're taking the gospel of Jesus Christ right up the border. And this is a part of the country. It's in the news a lot, but it's a forgotten area of our country. And there's so much despair, so much heartache in this part of the world. And I think it's so important to put to shine a spotlight on it, and tell people about God's love. And so we'll be pulling people from across the border over into to our meetings. And it's going to be, I think, just a wonderful time to see a great spiritual harvest. But that's the La Frontera Tour, and that's going to be starting February 24th, goes to March 9th.
Isn't it fascinating, Franklin, as, you know, again, the technology we have is amazing, and what you guys do out there on the with these tours and services, and yet it is still the simple act of walking an aisle or taking a moment to accept Christ, you know, quietly there in that those massive arenas. It really is that simple, the gospel message.
Well, you know, the gospel is, you know, the fact that we're sinners, that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried for our sins. He took our sins to the cross, shed his blood. He was raised to life on the third day. God raised his son to life. And if we're willing to repent, turn from our sins, and believe by faith on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God says, I'll forgive you. And that's the message. That's the gospel message. It's a message of redemption. It's a message of love, forgiveness, that God is willing to forgive our sins if we're willing to trust his son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior and Lord, and follow him as our Lord. You know, if you come to Christ, you've got to turn from your sins. You can't keep living in your sins. You have to turn from them. And so this is what I invite people to do. I invite people to turn from their sins and pray a prayer with me to invite Jesus Christ into their hearts. And I find out every time you invite a person, there's always somebody in the crowd who's going to respond.
It's true, and it's an incredibly moving experience, and what a great blessing. Folks, also in the Tidewater area, there's information about a tour coming to your area. GodLovesYouTour.com is the website. So a lot of opportunities to bring folks to these events. Franklin, we're going to leave it there. Always good hearing from you. Glad you're doing well.
Well, thank you, Todd. Appreciate you having me on. And just get the people to pray for the folks in Florida and Georgia and the South Carolina, even in North Carolina. There's just a lot of destruction, a lot of damage, and it's going to take a while.
We sure will. All right. Thanks, Franklin. Franklin Graham, everybody, SamaritansPurse.org. If you're looking to support a ministry, a program, a relief effort, that's the one. And they do incredible work. And not only are they meeting physical needs, but they're also out there meeting spiritual needs. And that is so vitally important. So please check it out. If you have a few dollars, give it to them. That's going to go to a great, great cause. All right, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
We now take you behind the scenes at the Biden White House. Let's listen in as Joe helps Hunter make an important decision.
Dad, who are you talking to?
Nobody. Come on in, Hunter.
Dad, I got some good news. I wanted you to know. You don't have to worry. I'm ready for my drug test.
Good, good, good.
I got some clean urine from a good source here in the White House.
Who?
The Vice President.
Not good.
Oh, well, then I'll just have to go with the old standby. Come here, Commander. Commander, where are you? Come on.
Watch out, Hunter. You made him a biter.
Join us next time when our hidden microphones take you behind the scenes.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, our friends over at Newsmax conducting their big national poll, and they want to know if you are still voting for Donald Trump. You can vote right now in the Newsmax poll. All you have to do, text the word SKIP to 39747. Take out your smartphone. Text SKIP to 39747. It just takes a minute to let your voice be heard. Again, text SKIP to 39747. We're going to share the results of the poll with Congress, the media, and, of course, on Newsmax, America's fastest-growing cable news channel. So this evening, I will be on Chris Salcedo's show, and then tomorrow I'll be hosting the Chris Salcedo show, the whole show, and then on Monday I'll be in for Eric Bolling. So we're going to be busy, and we hope that you take some time and join us as we hang out on Newsmax. So again, you can find Newsmax on all major cable systems. If your system doesn't have Newsmax, just give them a call and say, I want Newsmax. So vote now. Text the word SKIP to 39747. All right. I want to play some audio here. There was a big problem with a guy who got pulled over. Dylan, do we have this audio? Did I send you the audio of the guy with the bull in the car? I may not. Okay, we're going to get that. We'll get that audio for the next hour of the program. But this is pretty insane. Cops pulled over a guy. He had a full-grown bull sitting in the front seat. No, you can't make this stuff up. I'm just telling you. You cannot make this stuff up. Meanwhile, in Ohio, some good news. And this is good news. Students there will now have the opportunity to enroll in a Bible class during school hours. It's part of what they call a released time program. And here's how it works. Kids will be able to leave campus, and they will be able to take a Bible study class. And this is all on the up and up, and these are all theologians, and it's very similar to programs that are already in existence in, say, Arkansas, Georgia, Indiana, Kansas, and Tennessee. So the group is called LifeWise Academy, and they're branching out all over America with these Bible classes. So there's a problem, though. The Wisconsin-based group, the Freedom from Religion Foundation, they're saying, no, this is not right. They're trying to indoctrinate and convert students to Christianity. Okay, so what's wrong with that? They say the schools are not obligated to participate. Okay, so all right, so what's the problem? And here's the deal, and I know the atheists are not the brightest bulbs, but if a kid doesn't want to attend a voluntary Bible study class, guess what? The kid does not have to attend the voluntary Bible study class. This is why they call it voluntary. Again, dim-witted. So look, over the past 60 years, our schools have been run by the secularist and by the atheist for 60 years at least. And look at where they got us as a nation. We are now on the verge of a societal collapse. The children don't even know their pronouns. This is all because the secularist and the humanist and the atheist have controlled the school system. So I think it's beyond time to have a little come to Jesus meeting in our public schools, don't you? And I believe putting a little bit of religion, some hellfire and brimstone into the curriculum is a good thing. I'm just saying. I think it's a good thing. All right, coming up, we're going to be talking to our good buddy Ryan Helfenbein over at Liberty University School, back underway, just huge numbers of students over at Liberty, and we're going to be talking about some of the great things that are happening there. Also, Tucker Carlson is very concerned about Donald Trump, and Tucker, doing an interview with Adam Carolla, says he fears that President Trump could become the target of an assassination plot. And we asked the president about that, and he didn't seem too terribly alarmed. I mean, he is surrounded by so many Secret Service agents, and these men, these women, they love this president. And I know I have seen it firsthand. As a matter of fact, Donald Trump is the only former president, the only ex-president, who still has his full contingent of Secret Service agents. And the reason why is because of all of the threats. And there have been a lot of threats directed at Donald Trump. You know, you can't just walk into Mar-a-Lago. There are protocols in place before you can even step foot onto the property. So Tucker is very concerned about that. We're going to play some audio from Tucker. And then Ducey over on Fox and Friends throwing shade on Trump. It's just really sad what's happening over at Fox. And I don't know what Ducey and the guys are doing, but it's not working for him. Newsmax, you guys are they're blowing down the doors. I mean, they're growing. It's unbelievable the size of the audience that Newsmax TV has now. All right, folks, hang tight. We're going to your calls as soon as we get back from this top of the hour news break. In the meantime, head over to our website, toddstearns.com. Kayla Park, our great team of writers, working overtime for you today. We'll be right back.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Wow, we have got a lot going on this hour. By the way, after the show, 4:15 Eastern, I will be on Newsmax with Chris Salcedo. So hope to see all of you folks over on the channel Newsmax here in just a little while. Okay, so a couple of stories we've been following. One is from Indian River County, Florida. Now, before I get to that, I want to give you an update on a story we first brought to you yesterday. It happened in Lake Cormorant, Mississippi. That is in the northern part of DeSoto County, the northern part of Mississippi, near Memphis. So it's a suburb of Memphis. And a mom realized, her niece, and so she raises five daughters, and she raises the niece as one of her own. And the niece comes home from eighth grade class and says, "You're not going to believe what my homework assignment is." And so she handed over the homework assignment, the reading material, to the mom. And the mom said, "Oh, my gosh, it was X-rated pornography." And we've got it. You can see it for yourself on ToddStearns.com. I would caution you that it is, in fact, graphic. And so the mom calls the school, and the principal was equally horrified. They immediately launched an investigation, and it turned out they had a rogue teacher. And I say had because the information we are getting is that the teacher has been fired, and the school was incredibly apologetic, and they are trying to make this right. So it's one of these good stories. It's a horrible story, but it's a great story in the sense that everybody did the right thing here, and they saw something, they said something, and those in charge took action. But the problem is, what about all the other moms who did not ask about the homework assignment, or what about the other kids who did not tell their parents that they were being given pornography? What about those kids? And that brings me to Indian River County, Florida, where a pastor showed up at a school board meeting the other day, along with about 30 other parents and grandparents, and they had discovered the same kind of X-rated material in the public school libraries. one of the books called 13 Reasons Why, flat-out pornography. That's what it was, flat-out pornography. And the book was found in three different schools in the district. And the pastor, his name is John Amenchukwu. And I'm not going to try to pronounce that last name again, so we're just going to call him Pastor John. So Pastor John gets up before the school board, and he says, you know what, I'm gonna read this to you. This is what you are making our kids read in the public school. So he decided to stand before the school board and read it. Cut number 8.
While everyone is talking about racism, let me say this on the topic of slavery. Blacks didn't benefit from slavery, just like we don't benefit from abortion. Planned Parenthood kills more black lives in 2 weeks than the KKK lynched in a century. Margaret Sanger said that she did not want the word to get out that she wanted to exterminate the Negro population. There is no slavery like lynching a baby in the womb. The same people who talk about the racist education standards, they turn a blind and deaf ear to the fact that blacks are being slaughtered in this country by and large by the Democrat Party and white liberals who seek to further the plan of Margaret Sanger. Now on the topic of these pornographic books that you keep calling these point of contacts on as it relates to whether they should be read or not. 13 Reasons Why by Jay Asher, currently in Storm Grove Middle School and Freshman Learning Center. Page 265. As if letting him me was going to cure all my problems.
Sir, I'll stop you there.
But in the end,
sir, I will stop you there. And then we will continue.
You stop rubbing circles on my stomach. Instead, you rub back and forth gently along my waist. Your pinky made its way under the top of my panties and rolled back and forth from hip to hip.
I'll ask you to leave. Thank you.
He doesn't need a microphone.
Yes, sir, I ask you to stop. And you're going to have to leave if you don't continue with that. Yes, sir. No, sir, I ask you to stop. I ask you to stop.
I have
a right to read. Sir, if you don't... Sir, I'm asking you to stop. If you don't do it, we're going to have you removed. Thank you. Please. I've asked you to stop. Yes, sir, I've asked you to stop. Sir... I'm asking you to stop. Yes. And when I stop, it's removed. And I've asked you to stop, so they were removed. Okay, sir. Mr. Teske, would you remove him, please? Three warnings. Three warnings. I've asked you, please, to remove. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Because you won't stop. You won't stop. I've asked you to stop.
Allow the world to see me removed for reading the pornographic book.
Okay, sir. I just said I've stopped you from reading. It's going to be removed, so I'm going to ask you to go.
This is not right.
Well, it's not right that you're not listening.
Am I right?
Sir, he needs to be removed.
A black pastor for reading these books.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
So, again, Pastor John here was kicked out, and his crime was he had the nerve to read a book out loud that children were provided in a public school there in Indian River County, Florida. Now, the board voted unanimously to remove all of the books that were deemed too sexually explicit to read during the meeting. And the chair, her name is Peggy Jones. You heard her, Peggy Jones. She stopped many of the nearly 50 speakers. I'm reading from the tcpalm.com. That's a local newspaper there. So nearly 50 other speakers got up, and they picked up where the pastor left off. And she did the exact same thing. Every single one of them were ordered to stop reading. And here's one of the reasons why. So the school board said, well, look, we can't have you parents reading these books that we've got in our grade school library because there are parents with children who might be watching the meeting remotely, and we don't want the parents or the children to hear this. Well, let me just throw this question out there to all of you leftist school board members. If you don't want the adults to read it, why do you want the kids to read it? Anybody want to answer that question? So the good news here is that Moms for Liberty, they are all over this, and they are leading the fight there. Moms for Liberty's all over, chapters all over America are leading the fight to clean the filth out of our public libraries. Todd, there you go again. You say you love the Constitution, but you're supporting censorship. You just want to burn these books. No, I do not. I believe this is an issue of age-appropriate material. Now, let me give you an example. And I know that, you know, we've got the people from Media Matters and all the Human Rights Campaign and GLAAD, and they monitor our show. And they like to pull things out of context. So let me explain something to you. If, let's just say, a coach was out on the street and the coach gave a child, gave a player, a copy of a porno mag, right? A nudie mag, as they used to call them back in the day, and gave the child a copy, guess what would happen? That coach would be arrested and charged with a sex crime. But because that coach is inside the school on school property, all of a sudden that becomes legal. That becomes okay. It's part of the educational process. And I say that's a load of hooey. And I don't know who's responsible for putting all this smut in the libraries over in Indian River and Brevard County, by the way, but they need to go to jail. They need to be fired and they need to go to jail. So this has nothing to do with censorship. We're not about burning books here, but this is about age-appropriate material, and that's all. 844-747-8868, that's our telephone number. Let's go to the phones. Cindy is in Western New York and wants to weigh in on release time, a story we talked about a few moments ago. Hi, Cindy, what's going on?
Phew, now my blood's boiling. It was going to be a happy note, but my blood is boiling after that one. I wanted to weigh in on the school's religious thing. I graduated a long time ago, and in fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, I had to march up the hill to the Curtis School, and they let us out on every Friday morning before lunch, and all the kiddos would run down to the church of their choice. You know, some of us went down to the St. Gabriel's, and some of them went to the Episcopalian, some of them went to Presbyterian, whatever it all is. But they let us do that. And the kids that didn't want to do that or didn't have that, they could stay behind. They just stayed behind.
Cindy, it goes back to what is the point of public education? And when you go back to the early days of our country, the founding of our nation, this was all about teaching the kids Bible. There was Bible literacy. To my knowledge, they weren't promoting one denomination over another. I don't know. They may have. But at the heart of it, at the root of it, is Christianity. And they were teaching the children, our founding fathers and their children's children, what it meant to be a Christian and why Christianity was so important to the founding of this nation. And we have completely lost sight of that.
Yes, and exactly on that previous post that you just did, I was like, oh my, defund, speaking of defunding people, let's defund the Department of Education. Jeez, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, there it is. It is. Cindy, appreciate that call, and thanks for listening to us in beautiful Western New York. If you haven't been to New York State, by the way, folks, you got to do it. It's one of the most beautiful states. You just have to get out of the city. And once you do, it's like you're in normal America. All right, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Do you get the books out of those libraries? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right. right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Let's say hello to Steve in Arkansas, wants to weigh in on that pastor in the books. Hi, hey, Steve, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. I want to praise you for being the only person in the media I've heard point this out about these child pornography or sex laws and stuff that these, in my mind, if somebody sees it different, I'd like for them to point it out. In my mind, if you want to stop this stuff, you start putting some of these people in jail on child pornography charges that are approving these books and stuff go in these libraries. That's the question that needs to be talked about instead of why they stopped him from reading in the school board meeting. Hell, everybody knows why they stopped him. Why haven't they arrested whoever approved putting that book in that library?
That's what I want to know. And I would sincerely like to know from the school board, just I'm curious. The main issue here is the distribution of pornography, which is a crime. And why aren't they charging people for that? But I would like to know if it's not appropriate to read in front of an audience full of grown adults, what in the world makes you think that it's okay to give it to a child?
Yeah. What recourse does a private citizen have when an obvious crime has been committed against them, like an assault? Say you've got an assault, you got it on video, you've got witnesses, somebody just beat the snot out of you. And your law enforcement and legal system refuses to prosecute them. What recourse does a private citizen have?
It's a great question. And aside from calling the police and reporting it, I'm not sure. So the question now becomes, okay, will the police department take action? Will they go in and, you know, will they file charges? That's the recourse we have.
Some of these groups, like you said, the Moms from Liberty, I think that's the tack they should be taking on this stuff. Not just trying to get them to take the school out, the books out, trying to get somebody put in jail for putting them in there in the first place.
That's it. All right, Steve, good hearing from you and good thoughts. Thanks for those kind words. 844-747-8868. I've got to play some audio here from Andy Reid. I like him. Head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. By the way, he is in the lead spot in the AP's NFL Top 5 head coach rankings. And just a good guy and a great, great organization out there. And anyway, he was doing an interview, and he talks about, you know, where the coaches, you know, come up with these plays. And Coach Reid is saying, you know what? You never know where you're going to be able to come up with a good idea or who might give you a good idea. Cut number 7, please.
You look everywhere, though. High school, college. I mean, at least I've heard rumors that you've got guys that go down to the bottom of the ranks to find new concepts and things you might want to go with. Have you ever actually taken something from high school?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I took one from a janitor one time at Green Bay. I mean,
you got to tell me this.
Well, no, we had a janitor. It was a mom and pop group that cleaned our facility forever, and then they were game day. And, you know, this guy kept telling me he was the owner of the company, the father of the family. And he goes, I've got this play for you. And he kept telling me this over and over. Finally, I said, okay, here's a card. Draw up the play. And he drew up the play. I go, dang, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. We called the play just before halftime and it scored. And he starts hitting his wife and he's going, that's my play. And she's going, yeah, right. Yeah, sure it is. And that, well, we'll take it from anywhere.
Well, there you go. Whatever works, right? What if anybody's got a play, anybody's got an idea, the coach is willing to go for it, and I love it. Now, Dylan, I know you're a big college football fan. Yeah, have you? Who do you like this season?
Well, you know, I have to root for my Memphis Tigers, of course. I'm not really big into the NFL, but I think some of the bigger teams like Georgia, Alabama, I think Georgia's probably going to win another national championship, in my opinion. Even though I'm not a fan, I just think they'll be the better team. Oh, yeah.
I'm going for Tennessee.
That's a good team to bet on, Todd.
It's a great team, and it's a great color, by the way. That orange, there's something inspirational about that color.
I can't fully agree with you there, but I'll let you have it.
So, look, here's the problem. So they're supposed to be playing in Nissan Stadium. They're playing Virginia Saturday, and they may have to move the game back to Knoxville because they found some sort of a massive crack in the stadium.
Oh, wow.
So they're trying to figure out, they've got the engineers out there trying to figure out, do they just rope off or block off this cracked area, or do they take the game back to Knoxville?
They'll need to do that soon. I mean, people have already bought the tickets.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about going to that game, actually. So,
wow.
All right, we'll have to wait and see. So, anyway, but good luck to the Tennessee Vols and everybody else, so, except for Alabama. No, I'm kidding. Well, not really. Go Vols. Folks, got to take a break here. We're going to be talking to Ryan Helfenbein coming up from Liberty University. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. This is the Todd Sargent Show. And welcome back to the Todd Sterns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today, and great to have you on the program. Wow, we've had a great show. Donald Trump, Franklin Graham, and folks, if you're missing out on those interviews, if you want to go back and listen to them, just head over to our website, toddsterns.com, and you'll be able to download our free podcast. Those will be up right after the show today. So again, toddsterns.com, and you can download those podcasts. Right now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, we're honored to have our good friend, Ryan Helfenbein. He is the executive director of the Standing for Freedom Center and the vice president for comms and public engagement at Liberty University. Ryan, hope you're doing well today.
Hey, Todd, doing great. Great to be on with you. Honored that I'm on the same show with Franklin Graham and former President Trump. That's incredible.
It's sort of like the Holy Trinity-ish from... Wow. All right, I just immediately take that back. But we're so happy to have you with us. I mean, Ryan, I have run into... You have not had a summer off. I've seen you and the team, and you guys have been at events all over the country.
Yes, sir. We've gone coast to coast and many events where parents are convened, young patriots, conservatives are convened, where they care about the future of this country. They care about the next generation. They care about the state of freedom. It's all very important. And that's exactly where Liberty University should be.
Oh, absolutely agree with that. And of course, you guys have a brand new president and very exciting times at the school. I had a chance to hear him speak, and I'm very excited about the direction that Liberty University is heading.
Yes, Dr. Dondi Costin, Major General. He was the Chief of Chaplains in the Air Force, United States Air Force, and served in the military for over 30 years. He's also a former president of another fellow Baptist college, Charleston Southern, but he began his tenure here in July. And already had the opportunity to speak and preach in front of our students a couple of times now. And we're so thankful that God brought him to Liberty's Mountain for such a time as this. It is an important moment in the history of our university, and he's serving as the sixth president.
So just I'm just curious here. No one's asked me to ask this question, Ryan, but as a major general leading the university, does he do the dorm checks? Do they have to, like, have the beds made and, you know, everybody's standing? I'm just asking.
Yeah. No. He's definitely more pastoral than that. He's not the drill sergeant, but I will say he brings a lot of organizational expertise and leadership experience and certainly is in full command of that executive function. But he's got a heart for the gospel, and he has a heart for this next generation in making it relevant to their lives. And I think that's so important to see from the top leader of our school.
Well, I think this is really what makes Liberty so special and what an important part that you guys are playing in the nation's history. You're really raising up those next generation patriots. I know at Liberty you call them champions for Christ, but they're also patriots, and that's an important thing. And we need the kinds of students that you guys are graduating into the culture to really save this country.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. It was in the heart and the vision of our founder, Dr. Jerry Falwell, that what makes good citizens. Also, actually, what makes for good Christians also makes for good citizens. And so the gospel of Jesus Christ and really citizenship when it comes to this country, the United States of America, when you consider our unique founding and history, our Constitution, Declaration of Independence, look, faith, the gospel of Jesus Christ and American freedom, they're inextricably linked. And that's so important. And so we are training up champions for Christ, and we are training up the next generation of patriots who are going to be civic leaders and citizens and homemakers even, you know, building the building blocks of a free society here in the United States.
Ryan, let's talk about the Standing for Freedom Center, which has really gone through a metamorphosis, I guess, over the past several years. And let our listeners know the resources that you have for them there at the center.
Yeah, I would encourage all of your listeners to go to standingforfreedom.com. What we exist, we're here for life, liberty, and truth. We want to defend that. It exists for the next generation. This is the foundations of freedom. And what we're trying to do is give them an understanding, the young people, also their parents, an understanding that the gospel of Jesus Christ and freedom are inextricably linked. So when it comes to ethics, when it comes to our understanding of biblical stewardship and faithfulness as a believer, we have to recognize that we bear a responsibility before God as citizens. So go to standingforfreedom.com. We've written over 1,800 articles there. We've got a whole theology of politics series where we tackle issues like abortion, like voting rights, like COVID-19 as well. We've talked about those issues and why it's so important that citizens be informed and they steward their responsibilities wisely.
Right. I'm curious, how are you guys approaching the presidential election, the congressional races? 2024 is going to be a big campaign season. What can we expect to see at Liberty, and what are you guys going to be up to?
Well, we want to be modeling. I think the most important thing is faithfulness in these times, and so we're going to be pointing people to the Scripture. We're going to be showing what it is to put our faith and trust in Christ and in the gospel, also praying for this nation, and then being informed citizens about what's really a top concern in most Christians' minds and in Americans' minds when it comes to the economy, when it comes to the life issue regarding the womb and the unborn, when it comes to a whole variety of other domestic and international issues. So we're not endorsing candidates. I'll say that, right from the outset, that's not our role as a Christian university, but we absolutely want to be engaged when it comes to informing and equipping people to make good decisions and good choices.
And it's been a great partnership with you guys. And of course, we've seen some of our student workers go on. I know, come on staff there at Liberty. We have another staff member who graduated, went to go work for John Solomon at Just the News. And it's really been fun to watch the students coming through our show and the internship program and go on to greater things.
Yes, we've got students, literally Champions for Christ, Liberty alum, who have been positioned. They've been launched all over the country, many of them in D.C., but also serving in various media outlets there on your show, major national channels as well that folks are seeing, whether it be Fox News or Newsmax or OAN, a bunch of different media outlets that we've got students that are positioned who have gone on from here, who've been trained here, and are making a difference all around the world.
Ryan, we're going to leave it there. Folks, liberty.edu is the website, and they're just doing some incredible work there. That's liberty.edu. You can also check out the great, great programs available at Standing for Freedom Center at standingforfreedom.com. That's standingforfreedom.com. All right, Ryan, appreciate you. Have a great, great semester.
Thank you. Thank you, Todd.
All right, there you go. Ryan Helfenbein, one of the good guys out there. All right, we've got to take a break. We are going right back to the phones at 844-747-8868. That's our number. That's 844 877-847-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
We now take you behind the scenes at the Biden White House. Let's listen in as Joe consults a former president.
Let's see, you have the FBI on board?
Yeah.
And you've neutralized your opponent by weaponizing the Justice Department against him?
Right, like you said.
Good, good. What about breaking into his campaign headquarters?
I don't remember.
Great, that's plausible deniability working for you. Really.
You really think I'm gonna win?
Absolutely.
Dad?
Oh, it's my son, Hunter.
Well, maybe. Gotta go. Remember, the cover-up is what always gets you.
Join us next time when our hidden microphones take you behind the scenes.
Wow, there you go. Tricky Dick, as they used to call him back in the day, Richard Nixon. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Martha Stewart's in a little hot water for using an iceberg. So there is a photograph of Martha Stewart. And I guess, what did they do here, Dieter? She cut off a big chunk of an iceberg while she was on a luxury cruise from Greenland to Iceland.
That's correct. This is, I guess, a huge climate sin, Todd. She put the small iceberg, and honestly, I don't know that you need to
use an iceberg
to put in your cocktail. But anyways, the climate activists are very upset. I mean, you got to think, they think all of the icebergs in the world, but specifically the Arctic, which I believe is where she was at, are melting. So how dare she melt one with her cocktail?
Oh, these are the tree huggers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're saying, Martha, the ice caps are melting. Don't put them in your drink.
And she is laughing back. And this started because she posted a photo of it on her Instagram.
Oh, it's always the Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Always the Instagram.
She said, quote, "We actually captured a small iceberg for our cocktails tonight." She was on a cruise. You can see some of those icebergs behind her. You know, the great thing about Martha Stewart is whether she's in jail or on a cruise boat, she just doesn't care.
That's true.
You got to love that.
I love it. I think it's great. And by the way, nobody wants to drink a warm cocktail, right? So you got to have a little bit of ice.
Mm-hmm.
Shaken, not stirred. Right?
That's right. It's a different take on the rocks, or on the ice in this case.
Well, good for Martha Stewart. Mm-hmm. Don't ever apologize to the tree huggers. What about those reservation rangers in Nevada? Did you see this video a couple of days ago? Everybody thought they were Nevada rangers, but no, this was reservation. This was Indian territory here. And so the tree huggers decided they were going to block the roadway. And they literally barricaded the road. It was had a huge trailer and signs, all sorts of stuff. And so the police show up, the rangers, and they're like, nope, we're not doing this. And literally plow through the barricades and then arrest everybody. And everybody's all upset about it. But I got to tell you, folks, different rules on the reservation. You're not going to be messing around over there because they're not going to put up with that nonsense. So I say good for you.
Mm.
Ben Dieter, another story. Apparently, they're weighing passengers. This is from the Daily Mail. Social media and an uproar over images of a plus-size plane passenger. Can we not just say fat or an overweight, obese?
She's a vegan.
She's a big girl. And being weighed on a baggage scale in front of the whole airport.
I mean, come on. I wouldn't do that to a dictator.
Well, no. The problem is they asked her weight. They asked how much she weighed. And she said, "I weigh 130 pounds. Maybe one butt cheek." but that's a lot of that's a lot of baggage, if you will. Anyway, the woman named Lillian explained that everyone had to share their weight with the airline crew for safety reasons. So it's not like she was being singled out. All right, so they were asking everybody.
She felt singled out.
You know why? Because she lied. I mean, you can look at somebody and, you know, you're like, okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not.
You're not 120 pounds, Lillian.
You know how it is when you go, you know, you're, like you're at an event and they're like, oh, what kind of a t-shirt would you like? Extra large, please. And you know it's a 4X. You know they're not going to fit into an extra large. Mm-hmm. You know who you are. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with it. That's why they make tents that size.
Well, they said the president did that with the mugshot. You know, that was a big controversy. They said he fudged his weight a little bit.
Some are slamming the airline for embarrassing the woman. But look, and others say, no, 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 she's responsible. She lied about her weight, and it put other people in jeopardy. Because, again, this is all about weight distribution on the airplane. And if you get it wrong, so let's just say that you've got a bunch of skinny people on one side of the airplane and you've got all the fat people on the other, you're going to have problems.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
So what, did she sue the air? Did she get on the scale? At that point, if I'm Big Lillian and I do not want to be weighed publicly, I don't know. I might walk right out the back of the airport.
So it's a tiny plane. And so that's even more. So I was on one of those tiny planes and I got stuck in the back. I didn't take it personally. You know, you got to distribute the weight.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I figured if we went down, I would be the last person alive. So, you know, because I was in the back.
So I'm curious, do you know how if your baggage, when you check it in, if it's over a certain amount of weight, like 50 pounds and it's 53 pounds, and you either have to pay more or take out your deodorant and empty out your suitcase, does the same rule apply for overweight people, Todd?
Well, you have to take a belt off or take off the shoes or something. No, I
well, because here's the point. They're saying this is about safety and therefore she needed to be weighed, etc. So I'm just curious if that applies. Anyways, it's humiliating. I don't like that for Big Lil.
Well, I hate, she shouldn't have lied. She could have whispered, you know, she was like, you know, I know I said I'm 130, but I'm actually 325. Or she could have said, I'm 130 pounds times three. So, you know, and then you can do the math.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm just saying. All right. Corindon Airlines has come up with a plan to deal with crying babies. Ever been on an airplane and there's just a baby that will not stop crying? So they're going to, this is a Turkish-Dutch airline. No way I'm getting on that. If it's not American or British made, I'm not going. Well, Israel. El Al, best airline in the world, by the way. They're going to have an adults-only section or a zone in the front of the plane, and it's going to be closed off by walls and a curtain. Here's what I want to know, Dieter. Will it be soundproof?
I mean, have you ever seen a soundproof curtain?
No.
That's ridiculous. It must be a wall.
Nine seats in the zone. Look, I mean, if a baby's going to cry, a baby's going to cry. There's really not much you can do about it. But and then everybody gets upset at the poor mom, and she's exasperated because, you know, she's worn out. She just had a baby, for crying out loud.
Do they allow babies to fly first class, Todd, or do they bar babies in first class? Honestly, it's a genuine question. I'm not sure.
I've never seen babies or pets
in first
class. I don't know. Maybe. No, I'm sure they do allow them. They let the Real Housewives of Atlanta on, you know, that one time. It was, remember I told you about that? Mm-hmm. It was me and, what's her name, Nene Nene? I don't know. I don't watch it. But anyway, I was on the show. We were, the entire cast and me, I was the white guy. It was like, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for another episode of, you know, the Real Housewives of Atlanta and the white guy. That was me. Anyway, all right, well, folks, that's going to wrap it up there. Good luck to all you. You know, again, I'm not sure this is going to work. It's like, remember when they had the smoking section on the airplane? The entire airplane was a smoking section. Everybody got lung cancer. All right, folks, get out there. Have a great day. This is the Todd Starnes Show.